Hello, everybody. It's Jordan from Ireland. So there was a big surprise a couple of days ago when there were these major Hamas attacks on Israel. And the Israeli intelligence services like Mossad and Shin Bet have been caught napping because they're said to have the world's best technology. They pride themselves on having their agents everywhere. And their motto, or Mossad's motto, is a verse in the Bible, by subterfuge ye shall do battle. But they were caught napping. How on earth did Hamas manage to launch these very large-scale attacks with it? In Israel, said that 300 civilians have been killed, dozens of military personnel, hundreds of civilians have been injured, scores of Israelis have been taken hostage, mostly civilians, a few military personnel. So Hamas have been firing rockets, they crossed the border in vehicles and so on, attacked at many different points. This obviously took meticulous planning over months to come up with a plan, to assemble the weapons, to assign the tasks and so on, and then they'll actually launch. You think there might be some training, some dry runs. So that is a huge humiliation for Israel, and they haven't faced an attack on this scale for decades. Notably, it came on the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, the Jewish religious festival of Sukkot. Yom Kippur was also a time when Israel was taken by surprise. So it's actually been a gift to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was beleaguered by his attempts to reform the Supreme Court, which liberal and left-wing Israelis felt was the way to dictatorship. Anyway, so Israel's launched lots of airstrikes against the Gaza Strip and killed over 300 people, the great majority of them civilians, wounded about 2,000 people, and so on. So the fighting is ongoing, and the Israeli army radio says they're fighting at 8 different points of engagement. So why is this happening? Obviously, Hamas does not accept the existence of the Zionist entity, as they call it. They want the whole of historic Palestine back, meaning what's recognized by most of the world as the State of Israel. They want Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine, Al-Quds Al-Arabi, as it's known in Arabic. And for some Muslims, even speaking English, it's so vital to use that name, they say Al-Quds Al-Arabi, even in English. They want, obviously, the end to the settlements and so on. I suppose they would like Jewish people to emigrate if they're not willing to be citizens or perhaps some denizens of Palestine. Hamas is also an Islamist organization, wants to see a Sharia state. There are secular and socialist Palestinian political parties as well. And Hamas, much though it won't suit the Israeli government to admit it, was actually created by Mossad in the 1980s, in attempt to split the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. That was an umbrella term for various groups like the Fatah faction of Yasser Arafat, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and various other non-religious or leftist groups. So Israel holds all the cards. Hamas has got no air force, not a single plane, not a single helicopter, not a single howitzer, not a single ship, not a single tank, not a single armored personnel carrier, not a single infantry fighting vehicle, and so on. So Israel's got state-of-the-art military technology, often that they've manufactured themselves by Israeli military industries or purchased in the United States in particular. Israel's also a wealthy country, one of about 9 million people now. They have more territory. Gaza's one of the most overcrowded places on earth. The West Bank is fairly crowded as well. So much of the West Bank has been taken by these illegal Israeli colonies or settlements, they prefer to call them, many of them kibbutzim. So that was Israel breaking international law and seizing that, saying the areas are disputed, calling them Judea or Samaria and things like that. Having taken obviously most of Palestine at the creation of Israel in 1948, they've taken most of the rest since. Now, obviously put myself in the position of European Jews in the late 1940s, a third of world Jewry murdered in the space of just 3 years, including in countries which seem to be some of the most civilized in the world, like Germany. If it could happen in Germany, it could happen everywhere. Of European Jewry is even higher than the third. It's more like a half. They won't be safe anywhere. The only way to achieve security is to have their own country, that with their own safe haven, moreover, a country which will be reflective of Judaic law. And so land without a people for a people without a land, I think it's Theodor Herzl said that, impliedly saying the Palestinians weren't people. Or the Palestinians, well, they're not a nation. They're a section of the Egyptian or the Jordanian nation or the Syrian nation, something like that. Of course, in the Ottoman province of Syria, Palestine had been one of the valiyet of that. So the fighting will go on, but Israel's advantages will come into play more and more because they can have their rocket strikes wherever, they can bomb wherever, and they've got the listening devices, the facial recognition technology, and they'll be able to kill a lot of the Palestinian fighters. And it's also terribly sad. I don't want anybody to be killed on either side, and civilians should never be targeted. Inevitably, in warfare, civilians are always killed. You've got to try and minimize it. You can't get it down to zero. You've got to try and get it down to as close as that as to that as you can. But, I mean, the victims on both sides have overwhelmingly been civilian and not military personnel. Now, I know Hamas would say that most Israeli men and women under the age of 40, well, they've done their military service for 2 or 3 years, and they're called back to the army every year. So even if they're a civilian at that particular moment, they are military. So obviously Hamas don't go around in uniform, so it's very difficult to distinguish Hamas combatants from a Palestinian civilian. Now, there can be collective punishment, which Israel has used many times before, because they control the access to Gaza, the egress therefrom, all except the one border crossing point with Egypt. They control the airspace over it. They control the territorial waters. So it's really besieged. They can cut off water, electricity, gas, food, everything, and keep them just above starvation level as a way to penalize the civilian populace. So Mahmoud Abbas, the chairman of the Palestinian National Authority, said, well, you know, Israel's brought some of themselves. They keep illegally expanding, these settlements on stolen land, some which even the United States opposes, and saying that, you know, no people would put up with this forever, would have their noses rubbed in the dirt forever. At some point, the Palestinians say they have to choose to resist or fight. So it'd be great if they could coexist, find a better future for both of them in the rather crowded land. I mean, I sometimes thought whether Israel should pay the Palestinians to leave and pay another Arab country to accept them as citizens or something like that. They might say, no, this is our homeland, this is sacred to us. We're not going to sell our birthright. That's it. Goodness. But that might be cheaper in Israel in the long run if they just have to carry on this intermittent fighting all the time. That doesn't appear to be a solution with it, particularly with an ultra hawk like Benjamin Netanyahu. I think it's President Clinton, who was a fervent Zionist, so the Netanyahu didn't appear to consider the Palestinian people to be human beings at all. So it's all terrible, the racialism, the hatred, the religious bigotry on both sides. Not saying that everybody, not every Palestinian, not every Israeli is like that. There are decent people who are striving to reach an accommodation, and it's all made so much, much more difficult because it really fuels the flames of hatred when people are killed. How grief-stricken do you feel when your loved one dies? And it's an awful lot worse if that person died through malice. If that person was deliberately killed by others, particularly of another nation, another religion, you might say they're all bad on that side. Anyway, so about to sign off now, and I hope you found that instructive and informative. But and please make sure that you are donating and contributing on Patreon, and then behind a paywall, you can see a lot more. Really valuable content going back from years. Okay. So thank you as always for watching my channel. If you want to sample more of it, go to my website, georgefromireland.com, and my Patreon page, patreon.com/georgefromireland. There you'll see my latest videos and scribblings, a podcast and audio versions of my videos. On Patreon, you'll find over 1,400 of my finest articles from the last 13 years. And they're subscriber only, over 3,000 podcast feed of all my YouTube videos from the channels Reflections, English Law, and British Poesy. So Patreon has content which is not available on the other channels and websites. So treat yourself for the full experience of all my content for as little as £2 per month. And please support me by donating to georgecallahan79@gmail.com and PayPal. Thank you so very much for your continued fidelity and viewership. So until later, goodbye.